Thanks, Colm. Okay, my name's Mike Smith. I'm a lecturer in GIS at Kingston University. My research interests are actually revolve around DEMs and train modelling, and now field spectroscopy as well. The key point I want to get across in the talk is the application of field spectroscopy to LIRS and specifically profile data that's collected for LIRS. And it took me ages to say LIRS from my colleague, but so I always think of Superman and LIRS Lane. So the application of spectroscopy to LIRS profiles, and this is an area that almost singularly uses magnetic susceptibility as a proxy for analysing changes in profile data. So there's three key areas I'm going to touch upon. Firstly, we're limited to point samples when looking at LIRS using magnetic susceptibility, MS. Secondly, we're seeing a greater need for the compilation of massive data sets over small areas, and you just can't accomplish that with point samples. So thirdly and finally, which is what the project was about, was trialling the use of reflectance to see if we can scale it up from point samples. So, introduction, LIRS is wind-blown silt, so that's 3 to around 62 microns in size, so it's pretty fine stuff. And this project was focused upon the Chinese LIRS Plateau, which is, I think, the largest single contiguous area of LIRS on the planet, nearly 500,000 square kilometres, and up to 400 metres of depth of LIRS and around 200 metres of red clay. As a result, it provides the single longest terrestrial record of climate change, up to around 22 million years, and it's the key terrestrial Cenozoic climate record. The key data that we want to draw out of LIRS is changes in monsoonal activity. So we have the monsoon driving the climate in this part of Southeast Asia. And in terms of LIRS, in winter we see accumulation of sediment and we have offshore weather systems that tend to be dry. In the summer we see onshore wet monsoonal weather systems, and this is diagenesis takes place throughout the silt and principally pedogenesis. And that's what we're looking for, is changes in this winter and summer accumulation, and use that to measure the intensity. And as I said, magnetic susceptibility is the predominant proxy for monsoonal activity. So researchers typically go out, they'll measure an individual profile, they'll have a field portable MS meter, they'll go down, take point samples all the way down it, they'll use that to correlate to changes in the monsoon, and then they'll look at that and correlate that across often hundreds of kilometres. So we have individual point samples that are then stacked together to give us a regional signal. Unfortunately, or I guess obviously, accumulation and diagenesis is controlled more than just the regional climate. We've got a whole variety of local effects, including things like, obviously, topography. So those will affect the amount of accumulation that we see, but when you're just correlating profiles over 100 kilometres, you're not going to be taking that into account at all. So individual profile fasces may not reflect purely regional monsoonal patterns. So what we actually need to do is collect multiple profile measurements, and this is really where we want an imaging technique to collect very large data sets. So this was really a pilot study to start testing the feasibility of that. So two main aims: can spectral reflectance be correlated to magnetic susceptibility, first? Second, can we trial the use of an off-the-shelf camera for multispectral imaging, secondly? So the site we were at is called Shiwanzhai. That took me a while to pronounce that as well, especially as I've never been there, which is in the LIRS Plateau. Here it is, located there. My colleague was doing some work there anyway, looking at the L1-S0 boundary, which is Pleistocene-Holocene transition, and that's just an example of the area that we were looking at, which was just a 3-metre section. So this is the section itself. Two profiles were cleaned. Tape measure was used as a vertical reference, and then measurements were taken every 5 centimetres down the profile. So MS was measured using a Bartington MS2 meter, Munsell colour chart for colour. Point reflectance was measured using a GER1500, which was donated by NERC FSF for the project. And then we used an off-the-shelf Nikon D80 to look at imaging the profiles as well. We also did some lab work. One of the profiles was sampled every 20 centimetres, and then we measured reflectance of those raw samples as they were extracted from the face using a FieldSpec Pro. And then those samples were then powdered and then measured using an SVC HR1024. Clearly these were the machines that the FSF had lying around at the time when they did the measurements. Magnetic susceptibility was also measured in the lab using the block samples. This just shows the profile data. We've got a sketch of the 3 metre section, which is just running off the chart. And on the right, we've got the magnetic susceptibility, both the right-hand side and left-hand side, and lab data. And you can see there's a general agreement in the variation of the magnetic susceptibility down the profile. These are the point samples on that profile. So we have a nice picture of a GER1500 there, using the single field of view 4 optic, which is the 4-degree one, which was held around 15 centimetres away from the face. So it was held, profile coming down, held horizontally onto the face around 15 centimetres away, which gives us approximately, well, it's not really a pixel, but an area measurement of around 0.7 of a centimetre. These are the field data that were then plotted up, and we have left-hand side and right-hand side profiles, and it was repeated twice. And you can see just a few things to pick out there. The spectra were top and tailed at 400 and 1,000 nanometres. Pretty typical of a soil-like material. We've got reflectances from around 10 to 30%. There is some change in irradiance around 670 to 760 and 830 to 860. And we've also got absorption features at around 760, 770 and 900 to 970 showing up in there. These weren't present in the lab samples. So we're assuming that they're water content or atmospheric effects that were around when these were measured in the field. And obviously we have got a rogue measurement here as well, which was removed from the data set. These are the two lab samples that were then measured, the left-hand side being the block sample and the right-hand side being the powdered sample. You can see there's quite a large difference in the amount of variation between the two data sets. The reason the sample was powdered because we thought there might be effects as a result of sensor sample geometry, so BRDF, affecting the amount of reflectance we're getting. And the results there suggest that that actually is the case. So because of that, we've ignored the block samples now and just purely worked with the powdered sample data. We've got some absorption features on here at 1414, which is water, 1914, which is water, 2210, which is montmorillonite, and 2315, which is illite muscovite. We've also got a slope change between 500 and 1,000, which I gather is fairly typical for iron oxides as well. The other thing to note on the left-hand one, which is the FieldSpec Pro, is we've got sensor jumps here as well, which are quite clear in the data. So we worked with the powdered data, and we had 4 data sets. There was the raw spectra, our first derivative spectra, and we also did some continuum removal on those 4 absorption features, giving us BDNA and BDNC. So our band depth normalised by centre and normalised by area. Some initial results, these are correlograms, so this is our raw spectra, and this is correlation against our magnetic susceptibility. So we can see fairly low down at around 500, we've got some quite high correlation with our magnetic susceptibility. And then for our first derivative spectra, fairly typically it's quite noisy, but again some fairly high correlations down around the 500 nanometer range. This is also correlograms for our BDNA and BDNC, so that these are the four different absorption features, and again we've got some quite high correlations. This is around 1380 to 1400 there, and again on our BDNC, on our 2210 feature, we've got some quite high features as well. I hunted around quite a while to find an easy way to calculate the continuum removed spectra and couldn't find anything. So in the end I programmed it in R, which produced all the plots as well. And those scripts are now available if anyone wants to use them. We did some stepwise regression in terms of developing some models of predicting magnetic susceptibility and trying to look for some physical relationships. These are our field samples here, and we've got some three parameter models, fairly moderate R squared values. When you move to the powdered samples, you have some much higher models, and clearly once you start introducing the first derivative and the continuum removed spectra, you have some fairly low parameter models, there are five parameters there, which produce some very high R squared values. The numbers I've just put on here pick out the different absorption features. So 1 and 2 are the water absorption features, and 3 is montmorillonite, and 4 is the illite muscovite. And we're particularly keen to see if we could, to see if these initial models actually pulled out any physical reasons for a relationship with MS. Perhaps what was interesting for us was the was seeing some of these bands coming out. The montmorillonite and illite bands, which can be related to weathering, and this is something we're quite interested in exploring further. As I said, we also trialled an imaging technique. So this is the digital camera we used. So that was taking some pictures around 20 metres away from the face, gave us an effective pixel size of around 1.25 centimetres. So we took one photo which gave us red, green and blue, and then we put on an infrared filter, a 720 nanometer filter, and took a second photo and then extracted the red band from that to give us a final four band image of red, green, blue and near infrared. The camera is surprisingly sensitive to near infrared. These were taken as raw photos in the raw format, so it gives us the raw sensor data, and they were converted to 48-bit TIFFs before being imported back into Imagine. This just shows some sample correlations. We took the, for exactly the same sites, we took the field measured data from the GEL 1500, averaged it over the band width, so 600 to 700 for red, and then plotted some correlations just to see how they worked, and I think as you can see they didn't work desperately well. Near infrared noticeably worse than red, green and blue. There is a slight issue in co-locating the exact measurement of the exact field measurement and locating the right pixel on the camera. So the top chart here shows a point-based comparison, so the exact same pixel mapped between the spectrometer and the camera, and then this is a 3x3 mean filter as well to try to get an area-based measurement, but both of them seem to perform equally poorly. So some brief discussion points. Key indicators of monsoonal climate, well, as I've briefly mentioned, montmorillonite, often a product of weathering under temperate climate conditions, so we're quite interested in pursuing The effects of clay mineral production on LERS profiles. Illite also is indicative of both a cooler climate and potentially wetting and drying cycles. The field measurement was of a limited success. We would have, I think ideally we need a full spectra field spectrometer, so an ASD with a contact probe would have been a better option retrospectively. And the faces of the or the profile faces need very, very careful cleaning if you're going to use a spectrometer that you hold away from the face, which is where a contact probe would be much better. Statistical inference from point samples still remain a problem. I said what we want to move towards is a imaging system which is going to collect large data sets over, you know, maybe mosaic them together over tens to hundreds of meters, that we can then start collecting area-based measurements of reflectance and correlate that to magnetic susceptibility. Clearly though, it has also shown that the powdered samples were needed in order to control for BRDF, and again looking at results of powdered versus an imaging system is somewhere to pursue further. So three main points I hope you can take away. We have a requirement for repeated profiling of LERS, and the principal aim is to start to assist us in separating a regional climate signal from local effects on sedimentation. Secondly, full spectrum measurements of LERS are needed. We've got those absorption features out to 2,500 nanometers, and initially they would seem to be quite important for looking at our LERS profiles. And finally, we have shown that there is quite strong correlation between reflectance and MS. It's a stepwise regression model, so the next step is to start investigating physical reasons that might be there for that relationship. Thank you.